Welcome back to another episode of A Positive View of Rural. Today I'm talking to one of my longtime connections online, John Shepherd. And John is the vice chair with the, or one of the vice chairs with the Small Town and Rural Planning Division with the American Planning Association. And then what I know him for is that he's just a smart guy on Twitter and constantly providing a lot of cool resources and interesting stuff that's going on in small town and rural areas. Hello and welcome, John.
Hello.
So tell us where you are joining us from.
I am currently in the beautiful Four Corners region of the Colorado Plateau, where Arizona and Colorado and New Mexico and Utah all come together.
Okay,
and
so which one are you in, or are you standing at the point?
that I am currently in a rural area of Flora Vista, New Mexico, right outside of Aztec.
Oh, I've been there. Nice.
Right down the road from the Aztec Ruins National Monument.
Yes.
Just a few hundred yards from the banks of the Las Animas River, San Juan River, blue ribbon trout fishing.
Awesome. That's terrific. That's a place I've been on vacation. So I have touristed your area. That's pretty cool.
So oh, it's an interesting combination of, we have Farmington, which is a small metro area, and then Aztec, and up the road, Durango, Colorado, some smaller communities. There's a real nice variety here, and we see a lot of different things going on in the region.
You know, and I think that's one of the things in small towns is that we have a small towns, even if they're known for one thing, tend to have a variety of things going on, and we all represent very different areas. So if we looked at the small town of Flora Vista, it's got a lot of obvious differences if we compare it to a small town in Oklahoma, or we even compare it to a small town in, say, Maine. Those differences are part of what makes small towns so much more interesting and engaging, because we have a much deeper connection to the place we come from, and the place we are in influences a small town a lot more, I think, than it does a big city.
Well, exactly, and within a big city, that you have a lot of neighborhoods that act like small towns, and things we can learn from each other. That one of the things we're trying to do in the STAR division, the Small Town and Rural Planning, is look at those ways we can be more successful, both to help our members, but also we can connect people across the country. That you really see a shift in successful places from the old mechanical linear way of planning and development to something that's more cyclical. That you see many people in the public sector taking their keys off some of the changes in the private sector, the pioneering work done by, for example, Tom Peters, or even Jim Collins with Good to Great, that you really see a move from the old industrial model where things are done linearly to more cyclical thinking, where, you know, a lot of people are very task-oriented. They just want to do something. And then you get a lot of planners that, well, we like to do more analysis. We want to do our big, thick plans. But you see, like I said, the successful places, it isn't one or the other. They're taking things more cumulative and iterative. It's more trying more things more quickly. We need to fail more quickly. And that's where some interesting things are going on these days.
I had to smile when you said great big plans, because I've seen, you know, plenty of shelf fulls of binders of plans that are dust covered. But then you see people that create the kind of plan that is a working document, that's the kind of binder that gets pulled down every day because people are referring to it and using it, and everyone had a part in it. And I think those happen most often where more people get together across their silos. And so I want to move on. Let's talk about implementation, because this is something that you said just real briefly. I mean, you just tweeted it out. You said implementation is the watchword for the year. And that just stuck with me. I had to save that, and I have referred to it throughout the entire year last year. And I'm still referring to it because it encapsulates in a very few words one of the biggest problems that we have in anything that we try to do as human beings, but I think has specific relevance for small town people that are trying to accomplish things, and that is implementation is the watchword. You have to move beyond the idea to the action. Tell me what led you to share this with people, and what are you thinking about it now that it's been a whole year since you just threw that out there?
Well, I think we're implementation, and for me, it started out as an aspiration that I have a shelf full of plans collecting dusk. I've written plans that collect dusk, and really wanted to look more at how do we measure success, how do we get things done. There's some at a national level. The last transportation bill has an initiative to get more measuring of the successes of our regional transportation planning. What are some ways that we can measure success? And you look at overall comprehensive planning, land use planning, how do we measure success? Because as you know, that what gets measured gets done. But I've always had a lot of trouble with that in terms of strategic planning and community planning, because take, for example, economic development. If you measure success as the number of jobs, then you're going to go out and shoot for any old sort of job. But we really know economic development is more about building wealth than just chasing jobs. But when you measure jobs, then you chase jobs. It's a circle, and it should be a virtuous circle, but it tends to be one. There was just on NPR this morning, I saw an article from Southern New Mexico, New Mexico State University, talking about this problem of what we measure is what we get. And I think when we look at how we better implement things, a lot of it has to do with better measuring success. And some of that comes back to knowing yourself, that a lot of places are going and taking a stronger look beyond just the things that are simple to measure. It's easy to measure the number of jobs. It's even somewhat easier to measure, say, per capita income. But a lot of places are looking at better ways to assess things so that they can then have a better idea what they need to do. Census Bureau even, I'd say about things that are easy to measure. The Census Bureau makes it easy to count the number of people, the number of jobs, but they're even starting to do some things, even just on census quick facts, that get beyond those easy things to count. See a lot of the impacts on big data. Well, even small towns can use big data to better understand what's going on, but we also have to realize we have to get beyond that. We have to get beyond what's easy to measure to what's important to measure.
I agree. And, you know, dealing in census data in the U.S., you're dealing with, for small towns, that's once every 10 years that you're going to get an update on that. And, you know, then there's other things, other products produced in between there. But it leaves us with a problematic approach of trying to decide, what do we do with data that's at this point 5 years old?
Yeah, and the American Community Survey, I understand why the census is moving to that. And you end up getting 5-year cycles with American Community Survey, but it's still with the sampling errors very difficult within that cycle for smaller communities. You know, it's just one of those things we have to deal with. And I appreciate things the Census Bureau is starting to do. A lot of the state data centers are looking at adding value to some of those things. So there are tools out there, but we have to be careful how we use them. Speaking of how we measure success, you know, there's some of the things. Beck, I know that you've talked to Ben Winchester at the University of Minnesota.
Yes.
But he's gone beyond that census data with some of his analysis on the brain game. That, you know, take a look at what you can get, but then look at what's qualitative. How do you better understand yourself? Some other guys, the Strong Towns organization, Chuck Moran, and some of the folks starting to work with him in both small towns and larger areas. You know, go beyond what's easy to measure and find out what's important to measure.
So tell people, I mean, this is one of your strong suits, is that you keep up with a lot of interesting work that's being done around the subjects of small town and rural communities, even more than most of us do. Most of us are busy doing our thing, and we don't spend near as much time as you do of connecting with all the cool resources that are going on. So some of these are things that are new to people. I know many people I have already heard about Ben Winchester through the interview, two interviews that we did with him. But tell us a little bit more about strong towns, because we haven't talked much about strong towns here. And while I'm familiar with them, there's probably some people listening that don't know about it or don't know very much about strong towns. So let's talk about strong towns, and then we'll talk about, I know you gave me just a couple of other ideas. I know there's some other ideas that other groups that you want to talk about, other resources that people can draw on. And I think this is one of your strengths. So tell us strong towns. Let's start there. What the heck is strong towns?
Well, strong towns started out as a blog that Charles Moran is a professional engineer and a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners, as I am. So he has his credentials, but he was working in small towns in Minnesota and started scratching his head and say, are we doing the important work, not just the things that needed to get done? That he started asking some questions, and he put his ideas out there, and this bloomed into a nonprofit organization with a national following. That some of Chuck's key ideas are that the suburban experiment, the way we've been building cities since World War II, has had some great successes, but it's really showing it's showing that the suburban way isn't the only way. And there's a lot of people in small towns that intuitively understood this, but we haven't been able to enumerate a lot of those ideas. So he talks about the importance of the traditional way of building. That when his hometown of Brainerd, Minnesota was started, it was started up by a lot of people who knew how to build cities that would last. They were incremental. You tried a lot of things, but the way we used to build cities made it easy to fail small and fail fast. Since World War II especially, we built things bigger and shinier and brighter, but when they fail, they're too big to fail, and we can't afford to do that. Another thing Strong Towns looks at is we need to take into account the entire lifestyle cost of lifetime costs of projects. That it's not just, you know, can we get a government grant to replace our sewer lines? It's what type of sewer lines should we be doing? We had a little conversation going in the small towns and rural planning LinkedIn group about the value of dispersed sewer systems rather than just the big pipe. Now, I don't think our STAR division is saying, well, you should do it one way or the new way or the old way, and I don't think Strong Towns is. What we're saying is you have to know your own community and what works in your community and what is going to work for your ratepayers. It takes a little more time to look at different options, but it's overall a smarter way to do it. So try new things, but look at how things cost over the long run.
Okay, so after Strong Towns, another one that I thought that you might talk a little bit about is one that is kind of outside my geographic area a little bit, and that is the Orton Family Foundation.
Yes, Orton Family Foundation is an interesting, it's a working foundation. There's several of these around the country. Blandon Foundation in Minnesota is another one that's been very active in rural development in the upper Midwest. The Orton Family Foundation was really sprung out of the success of some small town, hometown retail in Vermont. And they have a strong presence in the New England area, in rural New England. They also have a strong presence in the Rocky Mountain West. One of their initiatives, an interesting initiative, is called Community Matters. And what this is trying to do is bridge some of the more general ideas of getting conversations back in your community. But Community Matters is a specific initiative focused on rebuilding civic infrastructure and being very purposeful of having conversations and sharing what has worked from one community to another, with the idea that New England and the Rocky Mountain West are very different than, say, issues in the rural Midwest, in Ohio, non-metropolitan Ohio, in upper Michigan, or in the Ozarks. But we acknowledge our differences, but also realize we can do things differently. You don't just have to take the pattern book, but look at how we're doing things differently. And they're sharing that information, some with some very intense technical assistance through, for example, their Heart and Soul program, but also using the magic of the internet to make information available when it's convenient to people. Because, like you said, we're all busy people, and we can share information and learn from other people's mistakes. I'd rather that people learn from my mistakes than have to experience them themselves.
We all make our own mistakes and learn from them, but, you know, it's good when we share. And you know, you mentioned a couple of times failing fast. And that relates to sharing your mistakes. What the underlying theme of those two concepts is, don't be ashamed when what you do doesn't work out. If it doesn't work out, then, and you can learn from it and you can share it and other people can learn from it, there's nothing there to be ashamed of.
Oh, and that's so hard in a rural community that so many people, they have an emotional attachment, especially if you've grown up in a community, but even among newcomers, that if you move to a small town, it's not because you couldn't make it in the big city. It's because you purposely decided, I want to adopt this town as my family. And then when you take a risk on something, it's so hard because you're emotionally invested, that the whole community is part of that experience. And it is so hard to do that. And there's a big difference in communities that are open to failure as long as you get back up, brush yourself off, and get going. You know, that was a real hallmark of the Western experience, was it didn't matter what you did back east. You came out here and your word was your bond and you tried. And that's not to say that you have to do your homework and you have to do that, but you have to try things. And that's where this balance we're looking at, it's not just doing something and it's not just analyzing and making big plans. It's getting that iterative circle going. Being a professional, no matter what size of community you're in, trying things, learning from them, and trying them again. Get that cycle going. Get that flywheel going. And you can be successful whether you're in Aztec, New Mexico, or Aurora, Colorado, or New York City.
Implementation is the watchword.
It is. It is. You know, there's Ed Morrison at Purdue University has had this idea called strategic doing. And it has a lot to do with this, but takes all of these aspects of communication and appreciative inquiry and focused on whether you're in the nonprofit or for-profit or public sectors, trying things and working them out.
Definitely. I think that's a great place to wrap up today. John, it's great to hear your voice for the first time and get to meet you here online and have the opportunity to share this conversation with lots of folks who are going to take great ideas from you. And hopefully there will be a lot of people out there saying implementation is the watchword now. Tell folks where they can find you online.
Well, I'm on Twitter at John C. Shepherd, S-H-E-P-A-R-D. And I have a website, www.jcshepherd.com.
All right. And then if they're on LinkedIn, then there is the LinkedIn group that you work with, the APA STAR.
Town and Rural Planning Division.
And so if folks are interested in that, they can hit you up on Twitter or find you there online and you'll hook them up with that.
Be happy to help out where we can.
All right. Great. Thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today, John.